I heard Cardinal DiNardo once tell the story about this second reading that we just heard. This rather difficult reading from Ephesians that wives, you need to be subordinate to your husbands, for they are your head in all things. But the Cardinal told us that the first time he celebrated a wedding, this was the reading that the couple chose. And he said that the bride asked her aunt to read the reading. And the bride's aunt read that reading, and Cardinal told us that he could tell she was getting more irritated the further along she got in the reading. What is this about women need to be subordinate? Oh, so by the time she finished the reading, she was so upset. Instead of saying what she was supposed to say, the word of the Lord, she said, "This is the opinion of Paul." And then she went and sat down. Cardinal said, well, you have to understand the context that was in. You know, it was the 70s when the women's lib movement was really big, and so we're equals. And that's exactly what this reading is saying. It's saying, wives, be subordinate to your husbands as husbands are subordinate to Christ. See, my friends, Christ in no way oppressed did he put his dominance over us. In fact, when we look at the cross, nowhere in there does it say that Jesus is dominating our lives. That's an image to us of service. It's an image to us of an invitation. See, Jesus laid down his life for the church. And we are using that comparison. Paul uses that comparison in the second reading to say husbands and wives are to do the exact same thing. At no point in your marriage, at no point in your relationship, are you supposed to have this domineering relationship where one's going to get their way and the other one's not. But you have to work together, constantly being subordinate to each other the way that the church is subordinate to Christ. The way that Christ was subordinate to God by laying down his life for all of us. And when we look at that second reading in that context, it makes sense. Because no wife is being asked to be subordinate to her husband who is not being in the image of Christ. That's the key. That all of us in our lives and in your relationship and your marriages, you're both supposed to strive to be like Christ, laying down your life, suppressing your own wants and desires for the benefit of your relationship and the benefit of your family. Well, in today's gospel, we're asked to be subordinate once again to our Lord. This is the riveting conclusion of the sixth chapter of John's gospel that we've heard the last 5 weeks. And in the end of this chapter that we heard tonight, the people there are gathered and they've heard all of Jesus' teachings and they heard him say, I am the bread sent down from heaven, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And the people that have gathered there, they've heard all of this. And some of them say, this is shocking, this is scandalous, this is astounding, there's no way we can believe that. And as a result of that, many of them turn away. What is so staggering and shocking to me is that the central teaching of our faith, the central teaching of Catholicism, time and time again, when surveys come out, it looks like between 30 and 70% of Catholics have a hard time believing in the real presence. That when Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, I give this for you, that is an essential teaching of our church. That every week when we receive the Eucharist, we believe that that truly is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Yet between 30 and 70% of Catholics, depending on what study you read, don't believe that? That's shocking to me. Not so shocking when you think that about 30% of Catholics go to Mass regularly. I can see how 70% of our brothers and sisters who aren't here every week, maybe though they don't truly believe what happens right here on this sacred table, where the Holy Spirit is called down to change that bread and wine into the body blood of our Lord. And then we receive that gift and we reverently approach this altar as that wonderful treasure, that wonderful gift that has been given to us. Our Lord invites us to come and receive Him. He invites us to come before Him and receive that wonderful treasure that we have. But my friends, if we walk out of here week after week and we aren't changed by what we receive, then we're no different from those who walked away. We're no different than the people that don't realize the great treasure that we have been given. Because, my friends, the Eucharist calls us to conversion. It calls us to change. Because just like simple bread and wine is changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, we too are changed every time we come here. For we gather before the Lord, and we bring all of our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our pain, our sorrow, our loss, our prayers of all of those people that we need. And then we lift them up to our God, who changes those gifts, who changes us, and then gives those gifts to us. And then, in this ultimate sign of being a Eucharistic people, we take our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have just received into the world, so that we can be an instrument of change, so that we can take our Lord and God who comes to us tonight to change the world, so that we may be His hands and feet. We have a wonderful opportunity this night to find out how we can be more like Christ in service by going over to the Family Life Center after Mass, where all of the ministries that we offer here at St. Mary's, we can learn more about them. How can we bring Christ to the world? How can we be that instrument of change? How can we help bring our Lord Jesus to the people of this parish, to the people of the community, and the people of the city of Houston? My friends, it means nothing if week after week we come here and we walk out of here and say, oh, that was nice, I checked my hour, I'm done. That's not what our Lord is calling us. As our Lord says, we are to be subordinate to Him. We remember that He is the one who gave His life to us so that we can change, so that we don't have to just go through the same old every week, but we come week after week to experience that love, to experience that change in our lives. And my friends, our world doesn't have to be a broken place. It doesn't have to be a place filled with violence and war and famine. It can be a place of love. It can be a place of harmony. It can be a place of peace. If we approach the altar of the Lord and allow His love and His grace to change us, and then we take that change into the world, our world can indeed be different. So as we celebrate tonight this great mystery of faith, as we celebrate tonight this great treasure of our faith, we ask our God to help us to fall deeper in love with the Eucharist so that we may be changed. And that we may take the change that we have in our hearts and in our lives into the world. May our Lord Jesus Christ be alive in our midst. May He be alive in our hearts so that we can change the world and that we can bring His love and His peace and His joy to the whole world.